You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The appeal of the whole New Testament is one man saying to another man the great good news of God.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, Creator and Redeemer of the world, shine into our hearts with your love. Forgive our sins for the sake of Jesus, your Son, and give us your righteousness, your life, by faith in Jesus Christ, your Son. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. On October 31, 1517, Martin Luther issued 95 theses or statements, which began with this one. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent ye," he meant that the whole life of a Christian should be repentance. From there he went on to the climax statement, number 62 of the 95 statements. "The true treasure of the church," he said, "is the gospel of God's grace and glory." Martin Luther was speaking not just to his own people, but to the whole church, wherever it may be. He was doing what St. Paul and the other apostles had done in their time, speaking to the whole church. It was St. Paul who left this legacy to the whole church, summarized in two short statements: repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the New Testament is all about. It keeps coming back to this: repentance and faith. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. The appeal of the New Testament, as of all Christian preaching, is personal. It's one man saying to another man the great good news of God. You can pick it up anywhere in the New Testament, but I shall take it today from the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beseech you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I don't hesitate to press that good news upon you today. Christ's people have always told the good news to other people. Christ is for everyone in this wide world of ours. He died for all. The love of God is all-inclusive, and it is genuine. He really loves. He loves this world of ours. To such an extent did he love this world of ours that he gave his only Son. In that Son, he offers forgiveness and life to the whole world. That means everybody. If Christ is for everyone with no exclusions, it must be the business of the church to tell everyone the good news. Christ is good news. He's good news for everyone. In Christ, the news is good for you as it is for me. To the church today, St. Paul says, speak to the whole world. What he has to say is for the whole church. Get busy with your business. Let people know about Christ. He is the one. There's one God, not many gods. And there's one mediator between that God and all men everywhere, the man Christ Jesus. as you see the world around you, how does it look? Are people happy, or are they worried and anxious? Are things falling into place, or are they falling apart? Does the future look more hopeful than the past? Is family life becoming more satisfying, or less so? Are people more sure of themselves today, or less certain about what's going to happen to them? One thing that strikes me about our present world is the contrast between the rising expectations of people and their deepening despair. They're pretty much the same people in pretty much the same places. Those people have been led to expect greater satisfactions in life from a lot of things that have happened, or that they were led to expect would happen. There's a regular litany of new nations formed in the last 20 years, with what expectations they came into being. Have the promises that accompanied their birth lived up to their billing? You can answer that question as well as I can. More young people are getting a better education in every part of the world today than ever before. The options of life seem to be expanding rapidly. A century ago, a boy had to follow his father's trade for the most part. The chances were good that he would never travel more than 100 miles from his birthplace. Today, the choices are wide open. The expectations of people are enormous. Those expanded choices have not brought unmixed happiness to our world. The suicide rate for young people today is simply fantastic. Faced with all kinds of choices, more husbands and wives than ever before are leaving their mates to start all over again. Education has come to be looked upon by many people with a jaundiced eye. Cynicism and despair are all over, sometimes lurking just below the surface, and sometimes right out there on the surface. We're cynical about large corporations. We're sickened by political corruption in the highest offices of many governments in the world. Although there are many honest people in government, it's taken for granted by many that every office holder is on the make and also on the take. There's a desperate search for intimacy in almost every part of the world. People desperately want to have some intimate association with other people. Some try to buy friendship. Others try to buy understanding of themselves. Almost impossible demands are being made upon marriage these days. The reason that marriages break up at such a phenomenal rate is that husbands demand the impossible from their wives, and wives do the same thing of their husbands. Parents demand the impossible of their children, and children expect the same of their parents. At a moment when there are more skills in the world than ever before, life has become a bigger problem than it was for our grandparents. The time seems shorter and shorter to do all of the things that people expect to do in one lifetime. There's a striving for something greater and more profound than a place to eat and to sleep. There's a yearning for life and very little finding. Many people have turned against science and technology, which they blame for having aroused their expectations without delivering what was promised. A good deal of what is called the youth culture today is revolt against everything associated with technology, education, government, and the customary amenities of life. Consumers have arisen against producers, and producers have retaliated against consumers. People who work with their hands are suspicious of people who work with their heads. And the compliment is returned in kind. Our world is pretty messed up, and people are all messed up with it. They have a deep yearning. They're looking for something that will give life real meaning, something important, something true. This is more than a psychological fad. People are thirsting for what might be described as the water of life. It's like fulfillment of the old prophecy that the days will come when people will hunger and thirst, not for bread and water, but for the word of the Lord. As the prophet said, the ones who will suffer the most from this lack will be the young people. Your fair maidens and fine young men will die of thirst, said the prophet. Contact with the soil, or the simple life, or seeking out the solitude of a ski slope are not going to meet that need. This may come as a shock to people who have rejected religion or slowly drifted away from the faith. It comes as a shock to those who thought that secularism would solve all of our problems. Contrary to the philosophers and to the Marxists, rejection of the sacred, of God's presence in the world, did not produce the millennium that they predicted. What our world needs is a rebirth of the wonder of faith. Not any old kind of faith, but faith in the living God. The day of the Lord is still to come, in spite of all the secularism, hostilities, and despair of mankind. When it comes right down to it, only faith in God will do. All the other fanaticisms, all the other faiths will die out. But God still remains God. When you peel back the skin from our modern mood, you find underneath a disguised, unfulfilled need for God. Let's put this in personal form. A man comes to the point of retirement. Another has taken his place at the office or at the workbench. He enjoys the first weeks of sleeping late and catching up on chores. While people are nice to him, it's clear that he is no longer essential to them. Then the question comes home. What is life all about, anyway? Has this investment in life paid off? What is really important? What does it all amount to? Or take the church member who's heard the great words of joy and peace all his life. One day the family has gone on other pursuits. He's a little under the weather. The TV set is broken. Suddenly a lonely quietness comes over him, and he asks himself the great question. What about faith? Has it really done anything for him? Is there anything to all of those religious routines and the many words he's heard or spoken? At that moment, that crucial moment, which could come any time in life, at retirement or at the beginning. What if there is someone who can say to me, fear not, who can say to me, I call you by name, you're mine, who can say to me, peace be with you. Doesn't my loneliness really have something to do with this, that more than anything else, I need God? Wouldn't it be different with my friendships, which I want so much, if I had peace within, if I were not all cramped up inside, if I had real hope? Wouldn't everything look different if I were sure of God? It is to this deep yearning that St. Paul spoke. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beseech you in behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Make your peace with God. Why should anyone want to come close to God? Why seek intimacy with him? There's one good reason. Jesus Christ, that wonderful Son of God, sent by his Father, whom he knew so well, is the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is the good news of God. To a world lost in its own despair, Jesus Christ came. Without any thought of himself, he just gave himself in that world, for that world. That's what the whole New Testament is about. Make your peace with God, said Paul, for God made him who didn't know any sin at all to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Here we are, as St. Paul was, speaking for Christ, as though God himself were appealing to you this day through us. On Christ's behalf, then, we beg you people, wherever you are, let God change you from enemies into friends. Christ was without sin. But God made him share our sin in order that we, by faith in him, might share the righteousness of God himself. If true, that's great good news. How true is it, anyway? As true as Jesus Christ himself. I'm not making this up today. This is not my word. It's God's word. Christ has come to take that lump out of your throat, to lift the burden that weighs heavily upon you. He died just for you, and he lives just for you. He's God. As God himself wants you to know him, he cares about you. He has a heart for you. He forgives you. Is that really true? It's as true as Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ is not helpless. He may have looked that way one day when he was crucified on a piece of wood. In death, Jesus Christ was completely in charge of the whole situation. He was not the victim of evil men. He was the victor over all evil in this wide world of ours. He and his Father are one. God was in Christ, reconciling that world to himself, not counting their sins against them. That means you, and it means me. Reconciliation with God is the deepest yearning that people ever have. They fight against it, they ignore it, they deny it. But there it is. Without it, a man isn't really a man, or a woman a woman. Reconciliation with God puts everything right. By faith in Jesus Christ, a man is put right with God, with his fellow men, and with himself. He comes into an inheritance with the saints in light. through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the righteousness of God himself. What an exchange! Jesus, the sinner, and everyone who has faith in him, righteous before God. He was made to be sin for us, that we might stand right with God. Paul called himself an ambassador for Christ. There was no doubt in his mind that he spoke not for himself, but for Christ. It was as though God was speaking through him and to him. Our message is that God is making friends of all men through Christ. God did not keep an account of their sins against them, and he's given us the message of how he makes them his friends. Here we are, speaking for Christ, as though God himself were appealing to you through us. In behalf of Christ, we implore you, let God make you friends instead of enemies. Make your peace with God, for God made him to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The modern caricature of a preacher is of a man timidly trying to apologize for God. I don't speak for myself today. I'm speaking for God. I don't apologize for him. With all of the authority of God himself, the authority I see in his Son, Jesus Christ, in his great name, I invite you to become a friend of God rather than an enemy of God. Be reconciled to God. Make your peace with God. Accept his forgiveness for the sake of Jesus Christ, the victor of Calvary and of the open tomb. I am an ambassador, as was St. Paul. I represent the Spirit as well as the message of God. In my heart, there is that same yearning that there was in the heart of Paul and that there is in the heart of God. Be a friend of God. I say this not to impress you or to impose anything on you. I offer you the heart of God as I accept that great heart of his for myself in Jesus Christ, God, by his authority, in his place, the crucified and risen Son of God. I say to you, with the power of his Holy Spirit behind every word, make your peace with God. Be reconciled to God, for God has given you his Son. In his Son, God will give you what you yearn for, and that is life. Life! Life! Amen.
Listening to a recorded copy of a Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your life, may we suggest that you share the cassette with others. This cassette service is a special ministry of the Mass Media Department of the Lutheran Layman's League.